Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California, with Andy Stevens, Owen Main, and Luke Johnson.
Hot stuff.
Hello and welcome to all of you out there in podcast land. It's Owen and it is Friday. Happy Friday to everyone. Today I got a chance to talk with somebody from Long Beach State. Jason Clark actually is a student there. He's the sports editor of the Daily 49er on the Long Beach State campus. And I got a chance to chat with him about a number of things, including the Long Beach State basketball team's end of the season, how they finished. They were the regular season champions of the Big West Conference. They had the conference MVP in James Ennis and the coach of the year, Dan Munson, and were bounced in the second round of the Big West Conference tournament. So that was kind of old news, but I chatted with him a little bit about that. And then this week there's a big baseball conference matchup between Long Beach State and Cal Poly. And the series started tonight. I think the score as of the posting of this is 8-4 Cal Poly, and Joey Wagman seems to be hanging in there. So I talked to them about the series coming up, Big West baseball, Big West basketball, and how Cal Poly is perceived by people from down south. So hope you enjoy it. Conversation with Jason Clark from the Daily 49er. I am here with Jason Clark. Jason is the sports editor for the Daily 49er on the campus of Long Beach State University. Jason, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Happy Friday and happy Baseball Friday. There's a big series.
Yeah, definitely.
The Big West Conference is kind of starting to come down the home stretch here. And Cal State Fullerton has certainly established themselves as the top team in the Big West, but there are a number of teams kind of vying for the second through, I guess, fifth or sixth or seventh. I mean, it's all kind of up for grabs. Yeah. All the way down to, I think, the seventh or eighth spot. There are teams who are anywhere between 8-4 and 6-6. And two of those teams actually currently tied in the Big West Conference for third place. They're in a three-way tie for third with UC Irvine. They are Cal Poly and Long Beach State, and they're squaring off this weekend, starting tonight in Long Beach. What's the field called down there, the stadium?
That is Blair Field.
Blair Field, yeah. I've actually driven by Blair Field a couple of times, and it's a little bit of a unique place. We'll talk about it in a second here, but first I wanted to kind of wrap up. I met Jason down at the Big West Conference basketball tournament. Long Beach was playing, I think, Irvine on that night, and Cal Poly directly afterwards lost to Pacific in the final seconds, and both teams went out in the semifinals. But I wanted to just chat with Jason a little bit first. I want to chat with you about the basketball season. It's funny because some might have called Long Beach State's season last year disappointing in terms of how it ended. A season where they were the regular season conference champions. They had the conference MVP in James Ennis. They had the coach of the year in Dan Munson. Munson? That's how he pronounces it, right? Munson?
Munson, yeah.
Munson, right. And that sounds like a pretty good season to me. Did you get the feeling, what was it kind of a disappointing way to end that year? And talk a little bit about
it. I would definitely agree. It was for having the season end the way it did, going on in the semifinals of the Big West tournament, especially after they won the previous year, it was a big disappointment, at least for the school. And having the Big West Coach of the Year and the Player of the Year, you know, you would think that you'd have the people and the talent that could make a run through that tournament and win it. But the team the starting five didn't play together until conference started because it introduced three transfers.
Right.
Sorry?
Yeah, right. I just said right, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Three transfers, and that, I mean, all those guys were really talented, but they just couldn't figure out how to work together enough to win three games in a row. And that was something that Munson talked about after that loss. Said it was a loss to UC Irvine, which I think Long Beach State was pretty close up until the last 5 minutes or so, and then just couldn't finish it out. Anyway, Munson said that, you know, it was pretty representative of how that season went for them.
Yeah, I really got the feeling, and we're talking with Jason Clark from the Daily 49er at Long Beach State. I really got the feeling, I think it was the second conference game of the year for Cal Poly at Mott Gym, and they beat Long Beach State. And I just kind of got the feeling, and Long Beach certainly didn't have all their players by then, and I watched the game down in Long Beach on TV. I just kind of got the feeling that while this Long Beach State team probably physically and individually was as talented as any team that they've had in the last couple of years, at least, kind of just didn't have quite the thing to put it together. I don't know whether to call it or what to call it. But they just kind of never quite got it together. Is that kind of the feeling that you have as well?
Yeah, definitely. There are just some egos that couldn't quiet down enough to work together. But at least the Long Beach State were thinking maybe another summer of practice between these guys. They'll still have four guys back. James Bennett, the best player of the year, will be back. But Mike Taffy, the point guard, who was a first-team selection, he'll be back. And then all the transfers are back. And then they're also getting a transfer from UCLA, Tyler Lamb.
Yeah, Tyler Lamb.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so, I mean, they'll still be a really talented team. We're just going to have to find out whether they can work together this time.
Right, right. And they'll have a little more time to work together. They're also kind of a young team. I have a question as it relates. I'm up here in San Luis Obispo, and I always kind of wonder what the picture that everybody has for Cal Poly is, whether it's, you know, the perception of the basketball team or the university in general, coming from LA and coming from a place that has kind of most of the Big West schools. I mean, if you were going to draw a kind of epicenter of the Big West, it would be somewhere between Long Beach, Fullerton, and Irvine. What's the general perception of, you know, from Long Beach of like Cal Poly and from the student body there? Obviously they're not as kind of high profile as a team, especially in basketball, like Long Beach, or, you know, don't have the history in baseball that Long Beach or Fullerton do. What's the perception within the conference in your mind of Cal Poly?
Well, with basketball specifically, we know that whenever you face Cal Poly, you're going to get a defensive struggle, and you're going to have to make some shots to win. It's not going to be an easy win by any means. With baseball, last year, I think it was, Cal Poly really kind of came out of nowhere and ended up finishing second, I think. And then this year, started out hot again. So
yeah.
I think baseball-wise, definitely building up a reputation. Everybody knows that Cal Poly is going to be one of the tougher opponents on the schedule. As a school in general, I personally have a couple of friends that go to Cal Poly. In terms, like, we know that running is a special strength of Cal Poly. I basically say, like, Cal Poly is an up and coming school.
There you go.
Solid sports team that are making their way to the top.
Cool. Well, that's good to know. You know, it's, I always kind of, and I'm from San Luis Obispo originally. I don't know where you're from, but I always wonder what people think of this area too, in general, when they're not from here. Where are you from originally?
I'm actually right from Long Beach. I live 5 minutes away from Long Beach State.
Oh, wow. Okay.
My whole life.
Okay. So you really do have the Southern California perspective on Slowtown, and being kind of the small area. I asked a number of the Cal Poly coaches over the last couple of years before you came to Cal Poly, you know, what was your experience here? A lot of them said that, you know, every time they came, they either just drove through or just stopped at the university and drove right back to whatever college they were from. You know, it's definitely like a kind of a hidden area being so far away from both the Bay Area and, obviously LA. But let's get to baseball a little bit here. I know that that's the game happening tonight. Is it 6 or 7 o'clock start?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, and you got the game at Blair Field. Describe Blair Field for those Mustangs fans that haven't been there. I think I drove by there. It's kind of in the middle of the city, right?
Yeah, it's actually pretty close to the coast.
Right.
Blair Field is a part of a. It was originally owned by the city. I think Long Beach State owns it, or I'll have rights to it. It's a part of like a recreation park where there's a couple golf courses right next door and like lawn bowling and all this stuff.
Cool.
Blair Field is one of the more historic parks. Not that it's really old, but just, you've had lots of players come through there, like Jared Weaver and Evan Longoria, Kurt Swinski. Those are Long Beach State specific, but also Blair Field hosts a lot of high school games. Long Beach Wilson High School, which is right next door, won the national championship, I believe, in 2007, and they were led by Aaron Hicks, who's the starting center fielder for the Twins now, and those guys all played at Blair Field. It's pitcher's park, definitely. So you get the wind blowing in from right field to home plate from the coast.
Yeah.
And the walls are pretty deep. So anytime you see a home run hit at Blair Field, it's just a special sight because those are pretty rare.
You know it's a poke. I know when I drove by there, it was kind of, when I said it's in the middle of the city, I meant off campus, I think.
Definitely.
And you know, there's streets on each side. It's kind of like the college, like Southern California coastal version of Wrigley, maybe, where the wind, like you said, kind of might pick up. And
that's a great way to describe it. Yeah.
And it's right, just kind of right on the street corner there of some kind of awkwardly aligned streets, I feel like. I don't know.
Yes. yep.
But it was pretty cool to drive by it. Cal Poly tonight has their ace going, Joey Wagman. Wagman's just been great all year. Cal Poly's been ranked in the top 20 the last few weeks. They might have dropped out, I think, after losing the series to Fullerton last week, but certainly they've been solidly in second place until the last week in the Fullerton series. Long Beach has been kind of up and down. I was looking at who they've played and their record. They played UCLA earlier in the year and lost. They lost some other series early in conference that kind of weren't indicative of a team that was going to compete. And then they go to UCLA this last week and blow them out, right? So who is Long Beach State and what's their season been like?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I said, who is Long Beach State and what's, you know, what has their season been like?
It's been very inconsistent so far, like you were talking about. The win against UCLA earlier this week was pretty huge. I don't know that those results will carry over. The biggest thing about the Dirtbags right now is that they have a really difficult time winning on the road, which is one of the reasons why that UCLA win was so big. But they lost 2 out of 3 at Pacific. I think that was the first time they lost a series to Pacific since like 1999.
And Pacific in their final year in the conference is 3-9 in conference, and 2 of those wins against Long Beach State.
That's right. So in terms of road performance, not great. I don't expect them to take any games from Fullerton next weekend. In terms of for home games, though, it should be a really good series between Cal Poly and Long Beach State. Long Beach State definitely plays a lot better at home. The pitching has always been good. It's just a matter of whether the hitting can back it up. And this year, the hitting seems to be there. At least at home, it does.
at least they're hitting the ball at home. I'm talking with Jason Clark from the Daily 49er. He's the sports editor there on campus at Long Beach State. And I didn't think I'd have a different campus newspaper on our podcast before I had the Daily Mustang, but the Daily Mustang hasn't been here yet, so I'm going to have to call them out a little bit and get JJ Jenkins or Stefan over here. As far as Long Beach State starting pitching, you said they're really good. Can you list off at least their top couple guys and who Cal Poly's facing tonight and then also on Saturday?
Sure. Tonight they'll be facing Shane Carl, who is a transfer, actually, from, I believe, a junior college. Shane Carl has, he has probably the best arm on the staff. And his record isn't great because it seems that every time he goes out there, he can't get any run support. He had a pretty low ERA, like under two, up until a couple weeks ago when he had a disaster outing, I believe against, maybe it was Fullerton or Northridge, I forget which one. But that, in terms of stats, that brought up his ERA a lot higher than it really should be. Then past Saturday, you'll be getting Jake Staffy, who, this is a guy who came out of nowhere and is really been a solid guy in the rotation. He leads the league in wins. He's a lefty. Doesn't have overpowering stuff, but he throws strikes, and he can command and mix his pitch as well. So if you're looking, if you're Long Beach State, you're looking for a win definitely on Saturday. Jake Staffy probably matches up a lot better with other number Saturday starters. And then Sunday in the finale, you'll get David Hill. He's a freshman. I believe he was drafted by, maybe it was the Phillies, I honestly don't remember which, but he was drafted in the 17th round, decided to go to school. He was inserted in the starting rotation about probably when conference play started. But he's got a lot of talent. He'll leave a pitch up every once in a while, and that'll hurt him. But once again, a good starting rotation. Dick Stassi is probably the one who you count on to get a win, and Shane Carl and David Hill both keep in the name. Let me say it.
Great, and you know, I think that Saturday start that you pointed to is really going to be an interesting one. Cal Poly's Saturday starter, Matt Imhoff, is a guy who head coach Larry Lee was talking about as being kind of one of their big up-and-comers leading into the year. He pitched a couple of really, really good games pre-conference. He's a left-hander. He throws, you know, pretty hard for a lefty. And these last few weeks, he hasn't had great outings. And so it'll be interesting to see if he can get deep into that game, kind of lefty versus lefty, coming off of a Friday night game where, you know, Cal Poly's got a senior or an upperclassman in Joey Wagman and facing the number one there. And then the Sunday starter's been kind of in flux too for Cal Poly. It hasn't been kind of the same guy all year either, I don't think. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, kind of how the run progression goes. I really enjoy college baseball sometimes because you get your Saturday night or your Friday night where everybody's kind of trying to feel everybody out. You get your Saturday where who knows what's going to happen. And then by Sunday, it's kind of like, you know, sometimes you'll get just these, you know, crazy high scoring games a lot on the way out. Sometimes some, you know, a Sunday pitcher will surprise you because it's a young guy who's kind of starting to feel, you know, come into their own as far as pitching goes. And it really makes for a fun kind of a real series where you're really trying to, you know, you're starting to get to know guys and starting to kind of get to know pitchers and hitters. As far as hitters go for Long Beach, who should Cal Poly fans be listening for if they're listening on the radio or watching for if they're watching on Big West TV?
Well, actually, the top five or six guys for Long Beach State have been all really hit well. Leading off is Jeff McNeil. He plays center fielder. He's played center field, shortstop, and second base. He's a junior. I expect he'll probably be drafted. But he's a guy who can get a lot of hits. He can field bases. He's got a great glove. Then next up it'll be Michael Hill, the shortstop. He actually leads the team in home runs, which is really strange because ask anybody from Long Beach State and they wouldn't have expected him to do that. And he's leading the team in batting average too, I believe. Third will be Eno Patron or Juan Avila. Eno Patron is the first baseman, Avila is the third baseman. Patron is a short and stocky guy. He can run pretty well. He can run a lot faster than you would think for a guy of his stature. He's got some power, too. He hit his first home run at UCLA. He's a lefty, though, so he doesn't hit. He's really at a disadvantage playing at Blair Field because anytime he hits a fly ball as tall as it may be in the right field, it'll get swallowed up by the wind. Juan Alvarez is a senior. He actually had, like, a broken finger earlier in the year, so he's finally he's I think he came back once since the conference play started, but they've been hitting well since then.
So those guys like switch off at the 3-4?
Sorry?
So those guys like switch off at the 3 and the 4 in the batting order, depending on if you have a lefty pitching or something?
Yeah, it's been mixed up throughout the whole season, actually. Yeah. Patron and Avila, and then the next two guys, Jeff Yamaguchi, who also plays first base, and Richard Prigatano, who's the right fielder. Any of those four guys can hit anywhere from 3 to 6.
Got it.
Prigatano is probably the most talented of the bunch. Yeah, I believe he's in the top 200, top 100 Baseball America. The prospect is freshman year, but he got a really slow start then. Now he's a sophomore, and he's doing a lot better.
Got it. Yeah, Cal Poly's got a guy who got off to a little bit of a slow start this year, too, who I think they were hoping could hit a little bit higher in the order, and David Armendariz, who kind of started off the season hot, and he's kind of gotten cold as the season's gone on. He's moved from center field to left field. There's been some things happening there. They had a freshman who DH, who leads the team in homers, in Brian Mundell with 8, who's coming out of a 1-for-31 slump that he had middle of conference. So you have some guys that are slumping, but it's kind of the nature of baseball. And again, it'll be really interesting to see. I mean, Cal Poly has a chance to, and Long Beach, both teams have a chance to have double digit wins by the end of the weekend and really put themselves in a good place. More likely, probably somebody will have 9 wins and somebody will have 8. And one of those teams who has 8 might be in 4th or 5th place tie by the end of by the end of the week. Northridge is a sneaky team too. They've kind of snuck themselves into second place behind an 8-4 start. They're on the season 13-5 at home and 9-13 on the road. It's kind of an interesting split that some of these teams have as far as home and road. Cal Poly has been affected a little bit, but not as much as some other teams. Why do you think that is? I mean, is it just the kind of backdrop and being able to be comfortable with your surroundings? And it seems like in conference it would be, I guess, less of an advantage.
Yeah, you would think. I honestly don't have the answer for that. I was Long Beach State is 4-12 on the road this year, and I asked a while ago, I asked head coach Troy Bucket, like, what's the problem with the road? And he said that he actually prefers the road because the players are on curfew. There's less stuff. There's less distractions on the road.
Right.
We enjoy it, but clearly the record doesn't reflect that. I guess it's a comfort issue. I guess you really never know.
Right.
Varies from team to team.
Yeah, absolutely. And last year, the Big West, you talked about Cal Poly making kind of a run at the end of the year, and they did kind of make a crazy. They had some crazy winning streaks, they lost like one game out of their last, I don't know how many. What does it take for a conference like the Big West to be a multi-bid conference for postseason? Last year, Cal Poly was left out, being second in the conference. Obviously, you have your Fullerton, who, is in the postseason just about every year regardless, but is it kind of a reputation thing where you have to maybe make it a few times, do some damage a few times, and then maybe you get looked at? A team like Irvine might be a flash in the pan from time to time, but then, I feel like Long Beach has a pretty rich history. Obviously, Fullerton has, the numbers to back it up, but a team like Cal Poly, who doesn't get in the postseason very often, what do you think it takes for the Big West to be a multi bid conference?
I think the non-conference schedule is really important in that, because if you're in the Big West, Cal State Fullerton is probably going to win the conference and also hand a lot of other teams a lot of losses that way. But Cal Poly and UC Irvine both had pretty good non-conference performances, especially Cal Poly. So, they've had their name up in the rankings since, the second week of the season?
Right.
I would be very surprised if Cal Poly didn't make the tournament this year, even if they probably won't win the conference because Cal State Fullerton has been so strong. But Poly should make it. UC Irvine is kind of stumbling a little, but they're still a recognizable name. You might see them in the two. Long Beach State, I have to say, will not make it.
You don't think even with a streak at the end of the year, you don't think Long Beach has a shot?
Well, they have a chance. they haven't played Fullerton, haven't played Irvine, and then they haven't played Cal Poly. So, I mean, if you win out of those games, get yourself on the mat, maybe.
You win 7 or 8 of those, you might have a fighting chance or something and finish second in the conference, right? Right. I just don't see how a third place Cal Poly, I don't know, you know, a third place Cal Poly and maybe a second place like Northridge or Irvine. I don't know. I think you could see a situation where there's a Cal Poly team that is, you know, in the top 25 for a lot of the year and still snubbed. Maybe it's the year for the Big West to get, you know, maybe three bids if you know, Poly and Irvine kind of finish the season strong and some of those other teams, kind of bow out. I don't know.
I think this is a pretty strong year for the Big West. Cal State Fullerton has risen up to the top 5 team. And I mean, well, you've got the Pac-12, the SEC, the ACC, and then the Big West, I guess, would be the next conference. I mean, you've got teams sprinkled about from like the Big Ten and the Big East, but everybody knows California has a baseball stain. A lot of players come out of California, so.
Sure.
I think you could see 2 or 3 bids from the Big West this year.
It's interesting. I was talking with Larry Lee, the Cal Poly head coach, at the beginning of the year about last year and kind of how it goes with trying to schedule teams and playing teams that not everybody else on the West Coast plays. And it's a big challenge, he was saying. You know, he can call SEC schools, but that doesn't mean they're going to call him back to play preseason games because they don't need to, was his point. You know, he can call ACC schools, but, you know, he can leave messages, but that doesn't mean they're going to call back. You know, sometimes you have to play like a Notre Dame, like Cal Poly did at the beginning of this year, even if, like you said, they're in the Big Ten, even if they're, you know, in a little bit of a weaker conference, baseball wise, at least, you know, those are teams and schools that you have to schedule. You know, you got to go to Kansas State in the middle of March when it was, I think, you know, it was like in the 30s or 40s when they were out there. And kind of get your games in with some of those teams who everybody doesn't play, because everybody in the Big West plays everybody in the Pac-10 and everybody in the West Coast Conference. And so, you know, when you have those three conferences, basically, maybe the Mountain West at some level with like, San Diego State. Right. But there's some conference stuff that gets a little wacky. And, to Lee's point, with San Diego State kind of coming and going, it really screwed up the scheduling, for this year and next year. I think it will be interesting if the Big West can manage 3 teams in the tournament. I think that'll be a real feather in the cap for those teams. I think there's a lot of talent baseball wise in this conference.
Definitely. And you were talking about how Cal Poly played at Notre Dame this year.
Actually, Notre Dame played at Cal Poly.
Against Notre Dame, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Long Beach State does something similar. Long Beach State went and played it, opened the season at Vanderbilt, which was ranked number 2, and won on Sunday. Got blown out terribly the first 2 games, but won on Sunday. And, you know, those are the series that get your name out there beyond the West Coast.
Well, and Long Beach State has some heritage, right? I mean, Long Beach State has been in the tournament a number of times. They're a team that's recognizable along with Fullerton out of this conference, and maybe a Vanderbilt from the SEC will call them back. I don't know that Cal Poly's there yet as far as kind of name recognition for people who vote, especially if they're from the East Coast.
You get your name by being consistent, and looks like Cal Poly is getting there. With last year's finish and then a strong start this year. Looks like Cal Poly, like I said earlier in the podcast, just an up-and-coming school.
That's nice to hear from somebody who's kind of an outsider, because I think sometimes there's, I don't want to say like an inferiority complex with fans sometimes, but there's a, hey, look at us, like we're pretty good now. We've only been in D1 for, you know, not as long, and we've been competitive, you know, in the Big West for, you know, 15 years now. You know, kind of let's take that next step. I know a lot of fans feel that way. What's the feel from the fans? Like, what's the fan crowd like at Blair Field? Is it like a lot of retired people from the community, kids and families? Is there a student crowd, a student section? Is there alcohol in the, you know, in the stadium? Like, what's all that like?
It's definitely a lot of alumni. get a lot of little leagues coming out. Long Beach in general is a good baseball town. I believe Long Beach Little League won the Little League World Series early in the 90s. They've got a good baseball culture in Long Beach. Student body, you don't see too much at games. I'd say a lot more students show up at basketball games, a lot more alumni and people in general show up to the baseball games because that's where the history is at, and that's where Long Beach State has at least the most prestige sports life. But yeah, you'll see a lot of alumni, baseball coaches taking their kids and teams to Long Beach State baseball games. Then, of course, the name, the Dirtbags, is a practice thing for baseball fans just because it's so different.
Yeah, yeah. The baseball team has their own nickname. How did that come about?
Back in the late 80s, Long Beach State baseball team, which was then the 49ers, had to move its practice field or change practice fields. And the one they moved to was in really bad condition where there were rocks everywhere and the players would always get scraped up and bruised during practice. So the coach started calling them Dirtbags as an honor thing. And it kind of caught on, and after a couple of years, the baseball team just decided to make its official name the Dirtbags.
So that's their official name. They're not technically the 49ers.
That's the official name. That I can't write Long Beach State 49ers when I'm writing a baseball recap.
Really? So through the athletic, so the athletic department will get on your case if you write Long Beach State 49ers. Is that kind of like the Hawaii volleyball team, the Wahine? Is that kind of a similar deal there?
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
Yeah, and honestly, like I said, I grew up in Long Beach, and I knew Long Beach State as the Dirtbags before I knew it as the 49ers, because the baseball team was, at least when I was growing up, the more prestigious program. So I thought of Long Beach State as the Dirtbags until I actually learned a little more.
yeah, absolutely. You mentioned a couple of the famous alumni. You want to, the baseball alumni who are maybe in the majors, you have a couple that you could list off for me? You said Longoria.
We got Evan Longoria, Jared Weaver, Troy Tulowitzki, Bobby Crosby, who was with me there way back when for the A's.
For the A's,
Yeah, just had a lot of injury problems. Shane Peterson actually just came up with A's a couple of weeks ago. He was sent back on a scheduled demotion.
Uh-huh.
You've also got Jason Vargas pitching for the Angels, Vance Worley, who's pitching for the Twins now. Jason Giambi is one of the veterans now. Let me think.
That's quite a list, yeah.
The most recognizable names there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. From Cal Poly, you kind of have Bud Norris and a few others mixed in. Mitch Haniger was a high pick. You have a center fielder for the Brewers as well, so you have a number of Cal Poly baseball players that are there, but nothing like Long Beach State or Fullerton or some of those other schools. Maybe that'll change over time here as Larry Lee tries to bring Cal Poly to the Big West title, or at least get into that second place position where they have a good chance of making the tournament. Jason Clark from the Long Beach State Daily 49er, the sports editor there. Jason, I really appreciate you joining us. What year in school are you, Jason?
I'm a junior. I'll be here for one more year.
You'll be there. Are you going to be the sports editor again next year?
Yes, I will.
Okay. All right. Our sports editor at the Daily Mustang became the editor in chief and got a little. I wanted him on the podcast, but he was too busy running things. So I don't know if you know.
Congratulations, Brian.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Maybe we'll be able to catch up next year. That's the reason why I was asking you. Maybe we'll be able to catch up next year ahead of some basketball and chat again.
Yeah. Anytime. I'll be happy to be on again or. Whatever's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, Jason, thanks a lot again, and we'll catch you next time again. Cal Poly versus Long Beach State this weekend at Blair Field in Long Beach, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So check it out. You can catch it on Big West TV as well if you search for that online. And Jason, hang on one sec. We'll catch you next time.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Fansmanship.com podcast. For more news, opinions, and podcasts, go to www.fansmanship.com. Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. Front page of the news.